Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here. Now, fake news. Fake news, it's been a constant buzzword in 2017 as we've passed the US presidential election. Fake news played a big part in the campaign, or so they say. So looking at the Times decision right now, what exactly was the thought process behind it when they're looking at fighting this fake news?
Well, the New York Times is trying to build its subscription numbers, you know, around the world. They're opening up bureaus in a number of countries, not just Australia, but also in places like Afghanistan. And they're just trying to build their international brand through subscriptions. They've already got 17%, I think 70% of readers here in Australia go to the New York Times regularly for their news. But I think what we saw in the coverage of the Trump election was that even though the New York Times may be one of the world's great newspapers, and they certainly do some amazing storytelling, and they're out there doing incredibly new and wonderful things for journalism, they don't always get it right. and you know, they didn't predict the Trump win, and we need to be very concerned to ensure that we have, particularly at the moment with this crazy world that we're in, that we have a really good understanding of what's happening in America and the forces that are driving Donald Trump and the decisions he's making.
You are quite right. I remember the day of the US election, I was watching the live updates on the front page of the New York Times, and they had Miss Clinton at a 95% chance to win. So we were so young and innocent back then and really believed that was going to happen.
It was terribly embarrassing for the New York Times, and it will. I don't think anyone's ever going to let them forget it. I'm sure that they have learnt from that, because that is one of the great things about the New York Times, is that, you know, they do tend to learn lessons and move on. But there were a lot of other factors at play in that election. I read a research paper only yesterday about how the Trump campaign had bought access to social media data, and it was by using that social media data in a way to help put out particular stories and messages to those who were already swinging voters and were likely to come over. It was a very interesting, very long research report, and I wouldn't recommend it as a nighttime reading, unless you really want to go to sleep. But it was basically saying that through looking at what people like on Facebook, they could predict what kind of stories and what kind of ideas you had about things, and that they could use that data to slowly help change your mind. So for someone like me, who's obviously an academic and into education, they would have a particular targeted campaign for me. But for someone else, you know, a tradie, someone who's, you know, in one of those industries that's, you know, say a Toyota car worker, they would have a different message for them. And so the sort of Trump campaigning using that data was apparently incredible and very, very targeted, and something that we can only now see because of things like social media.
Now, I would certainly be the last person to say that these things aren't important. The American news isn't important. But you mentioned there a fairly high rate of Australians that seem to be going to the New York Times for their coverage of journalism, seem to be paying a great deal of attention to American news. Was that part of the decision for the Times to actually open up here in Sydney as opposed to elsewhere?
Look, there seems to be a lot of disaffection for the local news brands. I mean, there's obviously News Corporation, Rupert Murdoch's papers. They seem to sort of, you know, be love them or hate them, and there's a lot of dislike for them. Fairfax, the Sydney Morning Herald, and The Age have tended to be loved by a certain percentage of the population. But, you know, with all the cuts and the problems that they're suffering, many readers are moving away from them and looking at alternative voices. And it just seems to be that The Guardian, the UK Guardian, which does an amazing reporting here in Australia, I think they've got something like 40 journalists and bureaus around the country, small, mean, I don't mean that the journalists are mean, it's a very, very small operation for The Guardian, so that there's that British kind of news coming in, or that not that it's British news, but it's journalists with a particular take on how to do things, a very sort of left-wing kind of way. You've got the Huffington Post, you've got BuzzFeed. So Australians are looking for alternatives. And look, I'm not suggesting that anyone not buy the New York Times, because as I say, it is one of the world's leading news brands, and it does do some amazing things and really does look at issues in ways no one else does. But it is not the only thing that Australians need to be reading.
Well, I guess that is kind of the heart of it when we look at what we need in terms of journalism. A lot of people thought when the internet came in, when bloggers came in and all these kind of independent journalists that now had a platform, that was going to be the answer. And yet instead we've seen this enormous proliferation of fake news through social media and through websites. So looking forward and not wanting to see that kind of monopoly on people's news feeds, not wanting to see that kind of monopoly in what we actually see or hear about, what do you think is the better solution? Big top-down methods like big organizations like the New York Times coming in and sort of spreading their brand of journalism, or do we need to see more grassroots kind of journalism like some of the other ones you mentioned there?
I think we need to see absolute rolled gold funding for the ABC and SBS, our national broadcasters, because they can provide us with independent news. I also think that it's worth the government looking at potentially funding newspapers in areas where there is no choice. Brisbane's just got the Courier Mail. Well, no, that's sorry, I misspeak there. They do also have a Fairfax publication online as well now. But there are parts of Australia which really don't have very many voices, and you need to have a lot of good local voices to get perspectives on issues. And if we don't have access to that information, then we can't make good decisions about who should be leading us, both in the political realm and also keeping a watch on business and some of the decisions that they make.
Absolutely. Well, Alex, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
You are most welcome.